Our boat will take about 30 minutes to cross the waters to Delos. In the meantime, let's learn about the history of this island. As popular as Mykonos is today, centuries ago it was just another island, and the main attraction was next door, the island of Delos. In antiquity, Delos was important threefold: as one of the Mediterranean's most important religious sites, as the Fort Knox of Greek city-states, and as one of the ancient world's busiest commercial ports. Its importance ranked right up there with Athens, Delphi, or Olympia. Today, the island has no residents, just a humble museum, and the highlights include much photographed lion statues, some nice floor mosaics, and a wind-swept setting pockmarked with foundations that hint at Delos' glorious history. Delos, a rocky island 3 miles long and only about 1,400 yards wide, lies 6 miles southwest of Mykonos. Although it's one of the smallest of the Cyclades and the smallest of the group formed by Mykonos, Delos, and Rhenia, Delos, as the birthplace of Apollo, was a place of such importance in ancient times that the surrounding islands were known as the Cyclades, since they lay in a circle around the sacred island. The extensive area of remains excavated by French archaeologists since 1872 is one of the most important archaeological sites in Greece. Remains of a settlement found on top of Mount Kynthos show that Delos enters history about 3,000 years ago as a sacred place where a number of gods were worshipped. Blessed with a prime location, midway between the mainland of Greece and Asia Minor, or today's Turkey, and in the center of the Greek islands, but cursed with no natural resources, the barren island survived as a religious destination for pilgrims bringing offerings to the gods. According to the myth, the philandering Zeus impregnated the mortal Leto. Zeus's furious wife Hera banished Leto from the earth, but Zeus implored his brother Poseidon to create a refuge for her by raising up the underwater world of Invisible, or Adelos, and to create an island that was visible, or Delos. Here, Leto was able to give birth to her twins in peace. The twins, Apollo, god of the sun, and Artemis, goddess of the moon. Their human followers built temples in their honor from the 9th century BC, and pilgrims flocked here with offerings. As Athens began to assert control over the Aegean in the 6th century BC, it made sure that spiritually influential Delos stayed politically neutral. The Athenians ordered a purification of the island, removing dead bodies from the cemeteries. Later, they also decreed that no one could be born or die here. Anyone about to do so was immediately removed to the nearby island of Rhenia. Basically, this was a way to keep Delos pure for the gods, and also it removed any danger of rivals influencing the island's native population. A great festival, the Delia, was hosted here in honor of Apollo, Artemis, and Leto, as described by Homer. By the 7th century, Delos was also the political capital of the Amphictyonic League. The Athenians soon joined the league and assumed control, giving the Delians trouble on a regular basis, until around 315 BC, when the Egyptians became the rulers of the Aegean Sea. Delos was most prosperous in late Hellenistic and Roman times, when it was declared a free port and became the financial and trading center of the Mediterranean. By 100 BC, the island had a population of 30,000, which included foreigners from as far away as Rome, Syria, and Egypt. Each group built its own shrines and lived in relative harmony despite their differences. By Roman times, the island's commercial role exceeded its previous religious importance. But in 88 BC, Mithridates, the king of Pontus, attacked on the unified island as part of a revolt against Roman rule. The entire population of 20,000 was killed or sold into slavery. The sanctuary treasures were looted, and the city was razed to the ground. The Romans partially rebuilt the city, but revival was prevented by continuous pirate raids. A Roman legate built defensive walls around the city in 66 BC, but by then Delos was on its way out. It was gradually abandoned in the centuries that followed. In the 2nd century AD, Pausanias recorded that it was inhabited only by the temple guards. Delos was never forgotten, however, which meant further destruction and looting by the successive rulers of the area, pirates, Knights of St. John, Venetians, Turks, as well as its neighbors, Mykonos and Tinos. In the 17th century, Sir Digby removed some marbles from Delos for the collection of Charles I. Formal excavation work began in 1872 by the French School of Archaeology, which still continues today. The island is still uninhabited, except for the French archaeologists and site guards. Our boat from Mykonos will arrive on the west coast of Delos Island, in the commercial harbor near the south end of the ruins. The island is small, less than 1 mile wide, and covering about 3 square miles of barren, hilly landscape. The ruins extend north and south along the coast and consist of 4 main areas. The Maritime Quarter, which is next to the harbor, Theater District, which is southeast or to the right of the harbor, Sanctuary of Apollo, which is north of the harbor in the center of the site, and the Lion District, which is the north end of the ruins. Let's pause here and resume the tour once we debark from the boat. Once ashore, walk to the entrance, buy your ticket, pick up the map, and enter the gate. There, pause, and let's survey the site. With your back to the water, the commercial harbor is to your right and the sacred harbor to your left. Ahead and to the right are the foundations of shops and homes that once constituted one of the Aegean's finest cities. Standing above those ruins is Mount Kynthos, its hillsides littered with temple remains. The agora of the Carpentalist, one of the main squares in town, is straight ahead. The religious area with the temples of Apollo is ahead and to the left, at the end of the Sacred Way. And far to the left was the Sacred Lake, which is now just a patch of trees, and this is overlooked by the iconic row of lions. The first major monument that we'll encounter is the agora of the Carpentalist. Circa about 150 BC. This was the main market square of the Roman merchants who worshipped the deities called Lari Compitales, who kept watch over the crossroads. This is not the agora, but one of the many agoras or marketplaces on Delos, a reminder that several different communities coexisted in this trading city. It's an open area occupying the area between the sacred harbor and the commercial harbor. In the center of the ruins is a round shrine and a square base where offerings were placed. The Carpentalists were Roman merchants and freemen who conducted annual festivals in honor of the Larry Compedialis, Roman gods, and the crossroads associated with Hermes. These were minor gods, but as patrons of travelers and commerce, very important to the island's inhabitants. The nearby Ionic Naiakos, with the marble offering box, decorated with two snakes, also dates from about 150 BC and was probably built by the Compedialis. From where we stand on the west side of the island, we can also see the sacred harbor. This was the landing stage for the ancients and now is completely silted up, where delegations attending the annual festival used to land. All we see now are the remains of what was a grand commercial harbor. The coast between the sacred harbor and Fiume Bay was lined in a later period with quays completed in 111 BC and warehouses, remains of which can be seen underwater. From the left side of the agora, follow the 45-foot wide sacred way, or dromos. This leads to the religious center of Delos and the sanctuary of Apollo. The sacred way is lined with marble bases that once supported statues and monuments donated by kings and generals. This was the route traveled by ancient pilgrims and the annual procession during the Delia festival. Like the ancient, stroll down the sacred way via the two Doric stoas above the prison harbor. The Doric order was one of the three orders of the organizational system of ancient Greek or classical architecture, the other two being Ionic and Corinthian. Originally, Doric columns stood directly on the flat pavement of a temple without a base. Their vertical shafts were fluted with 20 parallel concave grooves, and they were topped by a smooth capital that flared from the column to meet a square abacus at the intersection of the horizontal beam that they carried. It was most popular from 700 to 480 BC on mainland Greece. On the left, or coastal side of the Sacred Way, is the Stoa of Philip, a gift to Apollo from Philip V the Macedon around 200 BC. Philip V was then the ruler of the Cyclades. The dedicatory inscription on the architecture has survived. The stoa had 16 Doric columns of gray marble, of which only one still stands. The stoa was originally 285 feet long and open on both sides. On the right side of the road is the South Stoa, which was built in the 3rd century BC. Ahead of us is a great open square, on the east side of which are the southeast propylaea, and on the west side is a passage through a smaller stoa. This whole area extended north to the Hall of the Bulls, was occupied in the Middle Ages by fortifications and erected by the Knights of St. John. The propylaea was built around 150 BC and contains three portals made of white marble and supported by four Doric columns. Continuing down the sacred way brings us to the sanctuary of Apollo, and beyond that, the sanctuary of Artemis, consisting of several temples and other ceremonial buildings. These once great buildings are in near total ruin, but in its day, Apollo's sanctuary had three large stern Doric temples lined with columns. The biggest temple was nearly 100 feet long. The nearby Porinos Naos served as a treasury of the Delian League, and other treasuries once held untold riches, offerings to the gods brought by devout pilgrims. The Sanctuary of Apollo was the ancient heart of Delos. Sadly, little remains of the great temples today. The first of them is the Great Temple of Apollo, which was begun around 477 BC, but neglected after the treasury was transferred to Athens in 454 BC, and finally completed in the 200s BC. It was a Doric structure with six rows of 13 columns, measuring about 92 by 35 feet. The metopes were left plain, and the architrave was decorated only with palm leaves and lion spouts. In classical architecture, a metope is a rectangular architectural element that fills the space between two triglyphs in the Doric frieze, which is a decorative band of alternating triglyphs and metopes around the frieze. Architraves are just another word for beams. Next door to the Temple of Apollo is the Temple of the Athenians, built between 425 and 17 BC. It is also a Doric building with six columns on the facade and a total area of about 54 by 35 feet. In the cella, or interior, seven statues stood on a semicircular pedestal of marble. The temple was probably the home of the colossus statue of Apollo. Next to the north wall of the Apollo temple foundations is a giant marble pedestal that once held the colossus Apollo statue. This 35-foot statue of 7th century BC was a gift from the Naxians and was carved from a single block of marble. It was said the statue was destroyed when a bronze palm tree blew over onto it in 417 BC. It was probably re-erected in its present position. A piece of the foot is in the British Museum, a hand is in the Delos Site Museum, and part of the trunk and the thighs are behind the Temple of Artemis on Delos. The statue base bears several inscriptions. The original dedication in letters which reads, "I am of the same marble, statue, and pedestal." A 4th century dedication reading, "The Naxians to Apollo," and later graffiti from Venetians and the 17th century travelers decorate. The granite base of the bronze palm tree with a cylindrical hole in the center can be seen on the west side of the Sacred Way. Part of the dedicatory inscription survives, naming Nicias as the donor. On the north side of the bend are five small buildings, four of them facing the three temples. On the basis of their similarity to the corresponding buildings at Olympia and Delphi, four of them are believed to be treasuries. The fifth was probably a temple. On the right side of the sanctuary is the ancient house of Naxius, 7th to the 6th century BC. On the north end of the sanctuary was the Ionic Temple of Artemis, rebuilt about 179 BC, on a site that had been sacred since Mycenaean times. Many statues of Artemis were found here and are displayed in the museum. Ionic porticos on the east and north side provide borders to the sanctuary of Apollo's twin sister. On the left side of the site is a curious semicircular platform, which may be a cult object from somewhere around 1500 to 1400 BC. On the left of the way, beyond the esplanade, is a precinct containing a stoa and two temples. The larger of the temples, the Keraton, at the southwest corner was dedicated to Apollo and contained a famous horned altar, regarded as one of the wonders of the world, with ram's horns set round it. The Keraton, believed to be older than the Shrine of Artemis, is in the center of the precinct, and is an Ionic temple surrounded by columns built on granite foundation, probably the successor to an earlier temple of the 7th century BC. In front of the entrance to the Keraton, which faces south, are a number of bases for equestrian statues. Walking towards the museum, and on our right, is the Hall of the Bulls, or Ship Hall, and is one of the best preserved buildings on Delos, dating back to the Hellenistic period. Probably designed to house a ship dedicated after a naval victory, it measures 220 feet from northeast to southwest, with the width of 29 feet. The building stood on a granite platform approached by three marble steps, which still are partly preserved. Walls were around the sides and the north end, and the south end was probably open. The interior was in the form of a long gallery with a cavity in the center. Of the sculptural decorations, only a nymph and a dolphin are left. At the entrance were pillars preceded by Doric half columns, with capitals depicting recumbent bulls. The step-like structure southeast of the Hall of the Bulls is part of an altar of Zeus Peleus. On the left side, as I approach the museum, is the Sanctuary of Dionysus. Not to be missed are the large marble penis on a pillar statues. On one of the bases are carvings of scenes from the cult of Dionysus around 300 BC. Along the north side of the precinct, it's the Stoa of Antigonos, 3rd century BC, with bull's head triglyphs. Behind the colonnade were rooms for housing representatives sent to the annual festival. And less than halfway along this is a semicircular structure dating from Mycenaean times, the tomb of the Hyperborean maidens who attended Leto at the birth of the divine twins. Let's continue into the site museum, which displays a variety of artifacts found during excavation. Admission is part of the overall ticket. Let's pause and take a look at what it contains, looking particularly for Apollo's fingers and Dionysus' phalluses. The museum is pretty scanty, and the collection includes statuary, vases, mosaic floors, and other items. Inside the door is a model of the site in its heyday. While most of the site's best pieces are in the National Archaeological Museum in Athens, a few highlights remain, including five of the original lions of the Naxians and the fingers of Colossus Apollo. Leaving the museum, turn right and walk toward the sacred lake. This was supposedly the source of Zeus's seed. The oval sacred lake, drained since 1926, is where the sacred swans and geese of Apollo were kept. A palm tree has been planted in the center in honor of the one Leto clutched while giving birth to her divine twins. When Leto was about to give birth to Zeus's children, according to Homer, she cried out, "Delos! If you would be willing to be the abode of my son Apollo and make him a rich temple, your people will be well fed by strangers bringing offerings, for truly your own soil is not rich." Today, the sacred lake is drained, thanks to French archaeologists who did this to prevent the spread of bacterial disease. Overlooking the lake are the famous Lions of the Naxians. The Lion District is named for the famous Terrace of the Lions, the iconic image of Delos. These date from the 7th century BC. Here at least nine possibly 12 elegant lions made of Naxian marble, guarded the sanctuary, looking out over the sacred lake. This arrangement recalls the avenues of guardian animals in Egypt, such as at Karnak. The lions on the side are replicas. 5 weathered originals are displayed in the museum. 1 original was stolen by the Venetians and repaired with an awkwardly too big head and still stands in front of Venice's Arsenal building. From here, I can walk back through the oval-shaped sacred lake back toward the museum. Just before the museum, a path detours to the left, far into the distance, to the remains of the gymnasium, stadium, and Jewish synagogue. Olympic-style games were held at Delos' stadium every 5 years. Like the more famous games at Olympia and Delphi, these were essentially religious festivals to the gods, particularly Dionysus. Pilgrims from across the Greek world gathered to celebrate with sports, song contests, theatrical performances, and general merrymaking. Otherwise, make your way back to the Maritime District and the residential and commercial districts. The Maritime Quarter was the main residential area of Delos when the city was at its peak of prosperity. And the ruins of many beautiful mansions and villas can be seen here. Many of them were paved with fine mosaics. Some of these are still in situ. Most of the remains of the residential and commercial district to the right of the harbor were either homes or shops. In the 2nd century BC, when Delos was a bustling commercial port, the streets were lined with some 3,000 shops where you could buy just about anything, and the hillsides were covered with the elaborate homes of wealthy merchants and shippers. Delos was considered to be the most important commercial center in the known world. One of its major commodities was human flesh. It was a major center in the ancient slave trade. The city was cosmopolitan, with 30,000 residents and distinct ethnic groups, each with their own linguistic and cultural neighborhood: the Greeks, Syrians, Beirutis, Italians, and more. Remains of these same neighborhoods can be still seen today. If you poke around some of the house foundations, you'll see that the homes were generally organized around a central courtyard above a giant cistern, which was the underground water storage system. Look for fragments of elaborate mosaic floors as well as marble structures that once decorated the place. The city even had a surprisingly advanced sewer system. Because wood was rare on the arid Cyclades Islands, most buildings were constructed from dry stone walls. Wood was a status symbol used only by the wealthiest to show off. Delos had some of the biggest homes of ancient Greece, not necessarily because of wealth, but because Delians could build big here without fear of the devastating earthquakes that plagued other locations. The Greeks attributed this to divine intervention, but modern seismologists have found that Delos sits away from any major fault lines. Further south in the theater quarter is the Great Classical Theater of Delos, which could seat 5,500 people and more houses with mosaic floors, especially notable as the House of the Dolphins, just east of the theater, with a fine mosaic depicting the gentle sea creatures and the Cupids who ride their backs. Also in this area is the House of the Mask, with a beautiful mosaic of a tambourine playing Dionysus riding a leopard. Look for the large remains of a giant cistern, and also check out the 5,500-seat theater with a 360-degree view of the Cycladic Islands. The southeast end of the ruins is occupied by the various sanctuaries of both Greek and foreign gods. It's here you'll find a path from the southeast corner of the theater quarter, which leads steeply to Mount Kynthos, a conical hill rising some 370 feet in the center of the island. On the way is the Grotto of Hercules, covered with stone slabs, and also the remains of the Temple of Zeus and Athena. The choice remains: return to the harbor and eventually a cold beer, or challenge Mount Kynthos. Those making it to the top of this 370-foot mountain peak will be rewarded with extensive views. To the south, to the hills of Naxos, to the west, to Syros, to the north, the mountainous island of Tinos, and to the east, Mykonos, with its numerous chapels, and all around, the beautiful blue Aegean Sea.